You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything. Feel it coming. Do you wake up on...
Hip music for hip guys. That's right.
I want to wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all. So why don't you hide?
And if I'm talking about hip guys, you know I can only be talking about one person. That's Chris Woodbridge. Woody, what's up?
Hey, Mac. Long time. Haven't had a chance to catch up with you.
I know. But, you know, you got like the intro, man. If I'm talking about hip guys, I'm talking about Chris Woodbridge. You've probably never been introduced like that, huh?
I see what you mean about the audio. I'm having a little trouble hearing you on this end.
You're having problems hearing me. Why would that be? Why would that be? Why would that be? I can hear you fine, all right? So, and that's what's important. So as long as you can hear me fine, I'm sending everything I'm supposed to send to you. I'll tell you what, let me call you right back on, I'll call you back on a different line, so pick up when you see a 714 number, okay?
Okay.
All right.
I think I heard call back on a different line.
Yes.
Okay.
Affirmative.
All right.
Why is that? All right, stand by. This is what's called on-air producing, and it's always interesting, trust me. What number is that that I just called? Recent. You want me to give you Chris Woodbridge's phone number? I mean, everybody should have it.
Frank Gore Gazette, Chris Woodbridge.
Can you hear me now?
A little bit better.
A little bit better, but not much.
Yeah, not too much.
Huh. Okay, bear with me, okay, while I do an experiment. Notice I didn't wait for him to say yes. Hey, Woody, can you hear me better now? No, you can't hear me at all. Yikes. Okay, I'm back, all right?
Okay.
It didn't work, so
yeah.
I will troubleshoot that. All right, so let me ask you some questions, all right, and you can respond.
Okay.
All right, so Paul Kennedy retires today. When did you meet Paul Kennedy?
Oh, gosh. That's got to go way back. I think we first met when he was going through either Command and Staff College or the School of Advanced Warfighting. And this was right prior to OIF-1 kicking off. Actually, we may have met even earlier than that. As captains, I remember coming across Paul right around the time we were going to AWS. He's doing it out in style up in Boston on the USS Constitution, from what I hear.
Yeah, how would you give us a little bit of a thumbnail sketch of Paul Kennedy?
Obviously. Super confident or competent infantry officer, a detailed, insightful planner, hell of a good man too. I mean, personally, I know Paul real well. One of the guys who can certainly represent the Marine Corps very well and has done it, multiple times, both, on Capitol Hill and out in 3MEF, 3rd Marine Division, just really, is a great spokesman and face for the Marine Corps. So he walks or talks the talk, but he can walk the walk too, and certainly did so as a battalion commander in Iraq while we were in command, 1st Marine Division about the same time, different battalions.
Who did you have and where?
I'm sorry, say again.
What battalion did you have and where were you?
So I had 1st Battalion, 7th Marines, when he was with 5th Marines.
Got it. All right. Okay. Would you say that he's a good time to hang out with?
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, from a personal social perspective, he's, definitely on the list of of people that you want to hang out with at the O Club.
All right, we will leave it at that. All right.
Yes.
Before we talk about the Marine Corps Gazette, and it's been a while, so I apologize for that. I should do better, and we should book this as a regular thing. So I want to apologize for that. The Marine Corps is having a pretty interesting discussion about discipline. I'd be curious about your thoughts on that.
Again, I'm sorry, Mac. I'm going to have you say again the very last part of the question.
The Marine Corps is having a very interesting discussion about discipline. I'm curious about your thoughts on that.
We've talked a little bit about this in the past. I think it's kind of a long time coming. I don't want to say not given full attention to some of the individual small unit discipline issues. They certainly come to the forefront with General Furness's policy memorandum in 2nd Division a few weeks back or a month back. Actually had a very interesting conversation with another general officer here around Quantico a couple of weeks ago, looking at the upcoming change in leadership at the Marine Corps, at the commandant level, coming up here in the next couple of months. And if you look back at every commandant in our lifetime experience, they've all come into office focused on warfighting and innovation and modernization, and to one degree or another, during their tenure and usually going out of office, they've left focusing on discipline, ethics, behavior issues. The conversation I was having with General Bowers, who's the president of Marine Corps Universities, Commandant turned that on its head and came in focusing on the discipline and behavioral issues as a primary focus area. Followed up with the obvious modernization and warfighting focus for programmatics and growth in the future, but focusing up front on the discipline issues. This may be a time for that to occur. I don't know, but I don't think it's something that we can really take for granted anymore. I think starting at the service chief level on down, perhaps a revitalization of leadership at every level and really clarifying what all tools are available to small unit leaders, what is acceptable and what's not, and taking a more comprehensive approach to that. I think the key being pushing the authority and tools down to the lowest levels of leadership with the right guidance and mentoring and top cover from the senior levels, so that those leaders down in the trenches can do the work that they need to do and not second guess how they're going to be viewed for doing that.
It's an interesting discussion, to say the least. I had General Van Riper on last week to start a series that I'm doing called On Discipline. And General Halleck's going to come on. General Bedard is going to come on. General Mattis has agreed to come on. And I'll talk about it because they're all interested in it. And so it's very interesting. And in our lifetime, you know, nobody embodied, when you said discipline, you couldn't have the discussion for very long before General Van Riper's name came on. And he talked about when he was a company commander in Vietnam, he had 74 Marines killed in action in his time as a company commander. And he talked about the reason for discipline and the reasons behind his uniformity, although people, you know, even when he was a commander of the commanding general of the 2nd Marine Division and put out his 21 rules, his command philosophy, and his advice for subordinates, people recoiled from that. And I would say, and I'm embarrassed to say that I was one of the people that I didn't understand what he was doing. And when you hear him lay it out in long format, it's pretty powerful stuff. So it's a pretty interesting discussion going on in all over the Marine Corps these days. So I think I agree with you. It's long overdue. Is the Gazette going to embrace this in any way?
I would, one more time, Mac, who would embrace this? I'm losing about half your, transmission.
Is the Gazette going to embrace this in any way?
We've certainly got a forum for it. In fact, there's something new coming down the road, a new feature that'll start in June. That's really focused more on giving a voice, giving a platform to folks who want to express a more, I'll call it a more innovative, creative, and sometimes controversial view on you know, any given subject. Discipline can certainly be one of those subjects, and I anticipate that may be a forum where we start to hear a little more about that. And I can talk more about this new feature that was generated by a discussion conversation with General Mattis to bring back this feature that is really exclusively focused on more disruptive ideas. And the subject matter being pretty much unconstrained as far as what folks can write short, hard-hitting articles on that we'll see launching here in next month's issue, in the June issue.
Got it. Well, okay. Well, so elaborate on so for people that are going to contribute to that, how do they contribute? What do they do?
So this is again, the subject matter is wide open. You can write on any subject there is. But it needs to be short, about a 1,000-word limit on the article, and same submission procedures for any other Gazette material. Basically, emailing a Word document as an attachment to the Gazette editorial office. The email address is on our website and right on the masthead of the magazine. And we're not going to accept any imagery or charts. This is strictly a written document. Very short bio for the author is just essentially your name, your rank, your MOS. And for the winning, if you will, or articles that are selected for publication every month, that author will get a $50 bounty. Small prize for that, but that's some incentive to follow up on what General Mattis has kind of recommended as a good thing to bring back into the magazine. And as an illustration of that, in June, the very first example of what kind of article we're looking for actually dates back to 1963, a very short article about it's a recommendation about realistic training in the Marine Corps. And without stealing too much thunder, the author at the time was First Lieutenant Krongard. His proposal was that the Marine Corps should just be allowed to kill 100 Marines a year in training for the sake of realism and the improvement of the Corps overall. He's obviously being tongue-in-cheek, somewhat absurdist about that, the title of the article is A Modest Proposal, which for folks who remember high school English, that was an essay by Jonathan Swift in the 18th century looking at how to solve the problem of the Irish poor. So with that sort of absurd view, making a point about training in the Marine Corps. That just gives you a flavor for what the type of controversial opinion can be expressed in this new feature. The name of the feature is the Observation Post, or the OP. So it's very much embracing that idea of taking the bird's eye view and looking at an issue or a problem through a creative or disruptive lens to encourage thinking among the mavericks, the folks who don't necessarily take the party line, but do take a regimented, disciplined approach to making an argument and thinking about an issue. So a little bit of a challenge because it's a shorter article. That's always harder to write.
Right.
But definitely leaves the door open for a lot of different issues, from the discipline discussion that we were having to virtually anything that folks might want to express an opinion about, it can touch on leadership at any level, can touch on programs, can touch on just about anything. So very anxious to start seeing some of that material coming in. We've already had a few submissions, early submissions here that are essentially looking at critiques to the way commanders are selected, a variety of other subjects. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to talk to folks about that, and they look at their June Gazette, which is actually available online right now, and the print magazines should be showing up in people's mailboxes this week.
So how are people going to find, there'll be information about how to write that genre of article online in the Gazette?
How are we going to find it, or where are you going to find it? I couldn't make that out.
Both.
Okay, so it'll be in the pages of the magazine. So on a monthly basis, you'll find it in the table of contents of the digital edition of the magazine, and then as goes for any of the published articles, anybody who wants to discuss it or make comments about that article can do it online in the Gazette forum, which is one of the links on the Gazette homepage. You basically just title, month, and year the article you're discussing, and no limit on how much you want to write on that. It's not not limited to 140 characters or something ridiculous along those lines. You can say as much or as little about it as you want right there online, and then obviously it'll be in the print magazine as well, as its own department called the Observation Post.
Got it. All right, let's talk about the May issue. Tell us about the May issue.
So this is for the second year in a row now. We've dedicated the May issue to focus on both the aviation combat element and the ground combat element. And so the bulk of the magazine, well over two-thirds of the content in it, is given over to a focus on aviation, really across all type model series of the inventory. This year's articles are unique, particularly article from General Rutter, Deputy Commandant for Aviation, titled Before Sunrise. This is the first time that DC Aviation and his staff have produced an article that is a narrative. It's a story, essentially, set in the future, set in 2030, and tells a story of a NACTAF operation, essentially a new level operation going on in 2030, and describes in detail in that narrative, descriptive story format, how every type model series of aircraft that we will have in the inventory by then in 2030, all those capabilities, how they play together in support of the MAGTAF in conducting this crisis response operation in the future. So a really good description, a very engaging way to read about programs and future capabilities. That's not as dry as some ways to describe that can be. And then the counterpoint to that, or the other half of the focus area, is a series of about a dozen articles that cover really the entire gamut of the GCE. So every community, if you will, within the ground combat element, there is an offering that's kind of an update where we are and a forward look of where we're going. With one theme that weaves itself through a number of these articles is really about changes, and I'll put a capital C on those changes, for ground reconnaissance. You've got obviously a focus within the reconnaissance community of moving away from air breathing human reconnaissance teams to unmanned systems, unmanned sensors, and other collectors out there beyond a team of four Marines with heavy rucksacks. So a change in the view of ground reconnaissance for the future, and then also how that ties in across the other ground systems. So as we start the process of fielding new combat vehicles, armored reconnaissance vehicles or the amphibious combat vehicle, how each one of those platforms ties together as a sensor, again to further build situational awareness and the ISR picture for that GCE commander. There are articles on fires, articles on armor, tanks. Underlying this again on the command and control and information warfare side is the idea of spectrum warfare and what we have to do in the current and future environment to limit our signatures and exploit emissions from our adversaries. So a real broad spectrum of GCE articles there. I'd say something for everybody, but something for everybody in the GCE without a question.
Got it. All right, tell us about we're catching you as the June edition comes to market. Talk to me about the June edition.
So June is the training and education focus edition. We've got two articles. Actually, previously published online articles from Major General Bill Mullen, the CG of Training and Education Command, one of them I think we've discussed in the past is his article called "The Train Me Mentality," which talks a lot about. It's another aspect of this individual and unit discipline discussion. The article really talks about the potential effects of leaders at the small unit level on up not taking ownership of their unit's training in the expectation that's something that will be taken care of at the service level by the service. So a little less of the you know, expecting to be trained mentality, and more the importance of taking ownership of units training. I think that goes hand in hand.
But you know, Woody, that's interesting because I mean, when you and I were lieutenants and captains, we got our units ready for Armor Crest, right?
Right.
First platoon is going to do, they're going to honcho attack on a fortified position. Second platoon is going to do company in the D. Third platoon is going to do whatever, night attack or whatever. And the platoons all taught modules and put people through station training and whatnot. We got ourselves ready. Now that's all outsourced. And interestingly enough, that's also cited. So what is a platoon sergeant now? He's just a babysitter between these training modules. He's not that guy anymore. And so it's an interesting subject.
No, you're spot on, and I think it goes particularly at that level of the small unit leader. I think it goes hand in hand with other disciplinary and behavioral problems. You know, if my only responsibility is that of a troop handler to get a group of Marines from point A to point B in the right time with the right equipment, right uniform, that's not really taking ownership of their training. And we certainly trended that way over the last 10 to 15 years. I think it is definitely turning a corner for the good now. But it's not something again because of the generational nature of Marine Corps leadership. You know, how you were brought up determines how you function at more senior levels. I think it's something that we need to be mindful of at the service level to not create that. What some folks have called the baby bird syndrome of just waiting for things to be provided to you. We certainly remember a different world. I think a lot of folks do, but some don't because they didn't grow up in that world. So some good information there. Good articles. Individual responsibility for education focus, some articles on professional reading, and then, some update articles on, different initiatives across, the different schools of training and education command. So, it really takes a look at learning, vice strictly training and education. Learning is not a word that we routinely use that much in the Marine Corps. I think it is the foundation and the reason behind our education, our PME, our training programs, OJT, but to date we haven't really defined it and taken a deliberate approach to creating a culture of learning in the Marine Corps and rewarding individual self-study professional development outside of the formal schools and learning centers. So what Marines and units do throughout their experience, all contributes to learning, and I think we're in need of that. And I also think that has a direct influence on what we've been discussing on the discipline side as well.
Interesting. My guest this morning is the editor and publisher of the Marine Corps Gazette, the publisher of Leatherneck Magazine. His name is Chris Woodbridge. He's a retired colonel in the United States Marine Corps. And he can hear about half of what I'm saying. So, Woody, talk to me about, you have both, content that's, that appears in the Gazette, and then you have other content that appears, in your digital edition. Give me something in the digital edition in both May and June that, I should take a look at.
So what you've got, it's built on the chassis of the print magazine. So on both our mobile application and on our website, you can access a digital facsimile of everything that's in the magazine. But then in addition to that, you have a whole series of web extra articles. These are laid out, look, and are edited exactly like the print articles. But they often are a little longer or go into a little more detail on one of the subjects that is covered in the magazine. And those appear exclusively online. So you can find those on the Gazette homepage under the Gazette forum. That same link also gives you the ability, again, to get to those that forum comment section, and allows our readers to exchange ideas and really weigh in with their thoughts on any given article that they've read there online. Then the other main feature on our digital presence on our webpage is the Gazette blog. Again, that's separate from the magazine. The blog right now is very much focused on as a tool for professional reading, and so it's essentially a Warrior's book club. Periodically, there'll be a call to action, usually from a senior leader, nominating a book, not necessarily a book from the Commandant's professional reading list, not necessarily a strict academic military history or military science sort of book, for Marines to read and then essentially post their reviews or comments about that book. And so in some cases that in turn leads to discussion and recommendation of another book. And so reading, self-education, learning in that subject area becomes a little viral at that point, as people make connections to other readings and other subjects that they've studied. And so the first book you have out there is actually a collection of essays called Strategy Strikes Back. It's looking at modern military and defense strategy through the lens of the Star Wars saga. So whether you're a huge fan of those movies or not, they have become part of our popular culture, and this gives us a very alternative, non-standard lens to look at military strategy and defense issues in a very accessible way. So you don't have to have an advanced degree in international relations or military history to be able to relate to the discussion, understand the arguments being made, and then come up with your own thoughts and judgment on that. The blog then gives you a place to post those comments, and if anyone wants to go further and actually become a blogger, a Marine Corps Gazette blogger, we have instructions on how to do that, how to reach out to us, and essentially apply to become one of our larger community of bloggers. I anticipate that that's going to grow beyond strictly a discussion of books and a book club into more of a broad discussion forum for Marines and others who are interested in Marine Corps issues.
I should be a blogger. What the hell? How often, if you blog, do you have to blog? Do you blog whenever you want to blog and it's contained, or is it a monthly event?
No, it's so while we're in this this initial growth phase as the book club, there's obviously a little bit of a lag time, as you know, folks who may not have read the book need to read it and then
right.
then frame their thoughts. But there's no requirement if you become a blogger with us at this point. There's no deadlines or suspenses or a prescription on how many and how often you need to do this. So it is, it's voluntary, strictly voluntary, not compensated in any way, and really is just an opportunity for folks to join the professional discussion at different levels. Anybody can comment on the Gazette blog. It's open access, but to become a blogger, there's an application process, and we need to make sure you're a member of the association and vet your writing just a little bit before you get out there as a blogger.
So you're telling me hold your horses, Mac? You're not in that quick?
I'm not saying that at all.
Let me tell you, that's what I got out of all that. I got an email for you.
In fact, I'd be glad to get you on board if you take a look at what's out there, and if you want to weigh in as a blogger, we can make that happen.
I'll tell you what, it's now in digital history, so there you go. I got that going for me today. Email question for you. Mac, I'd be curious to hear Woody's take on New Commandant. Is there a different direction that he will take the Marine Corps in? Is the Marine Corps stuck in the railroad tracks of modernization of aviation, communications, as well as making more lethal and less killable its ground combat element? I'm curious, what does Woody say? That might be a feature on All Meridia, on All Marine Radio. What would Woody say? I'm coming up with my own products now. So what say ye, Woody? New direction, General Berger.
So for General Berger, and this is not presuming a confirmation yet, because the general still has to get confirmed. So for CMC 38, whoever that might be, more than likely General Berger. I think the challenge that he's going to face is that I believe we have reached an inflection point for the Marine Corps. That's largely being dictated by the requirements of the National Defense Strategy and the National Military Strategy. To a degree, the Marine Corps and the Naval Service, the Amphibious Naval Service, are being told to do things that have not yet made it into our programs, our doctrine, our training, etc., our organization. And so I think there is going to have to be a reckoning with that, call it balancing the checkbook, and putting some changes in place, structure changes, operational changes in terms of the tempo of employment across the geographic combatant commands, and also development and leveraging some new capabilities to provide a different range of MAGTAF capability, and in some cases a non-MAGTAF capability to the combatant commanders who are employing those forces. What has served us well for the last 40 years, new and UDP deployment programs, took some retooling 5 years ago with the growth of special purpose MAGTAFs for crisis response, essentially land-based, new level, distributed MAGTAFs. I think optimizing the Marine Corps, both the ACE, the GCE, the entire MAGTAF, optimizing for a more forward and more distributed approach to employment options is going to be where the general will need to try to start setting the course for the service. And I think also, inevitably, what history has shown us, having to deal with these discipline behavioral issues, and perhaps dealing with those in a proactive way. That's a lot to do, and the sequencing is debatable. But I think what we've always done is not going to necessarily be relevant anymore, and so. The Corps really needs to offer a retooling of capabilities in order to maintain relevance and be that crisis response 911 force that we say we are. And so I think that's going to be the next Commandant's number one challenge.
So if I could summarize, the way we get to the crisis is going to evolve, and in many cases we're going to have to be near the crisis before it starts in order for us to be relevant to the crisis. So the way we've historically got there and the way we've historically fielded forces is via the MEU. We may have to be flexible and have other tools. Is that?
That's absolutely correct, and it may involve an increase in special purpose MAGTAFs that are routinely positioned forward for training exercises.
Got it.
And in turn, that pre-positions them, if you will, small p on pre-position, with use of other assets, tactical mobility assets, be that Ospreys, LCSs, other platforms that are available amongst our allies, or that can be contracted for what I'll call expeditionary or amphibious mobility in these areas. So sort of a lily pad approach, as opposed to bringing our lily pad with us, which has been, again, what stood us in such good stead in the latter parts of the 20th and early part of the 21st century. I think going forward, it's not realistic for us to continue to think that we can still operate that way exclusively. Doesn't mean amphib ships and Mews are going away. It just means we need other arrows in the quiver.
Interesting. Might the Mew be a logistics and aviation element in support of a ground combat element that's already committed in the way that you're talking about? I mean, so it might not be an either-or proposition.
It may be the other way around.
Obviously.
Be the other way around.
Okay. All right. No. So, anyway, well, that'll be interesting. You know, it's the Marine Corps is never a boring place in terms of the way we configure ourselves and the roles and missions and whatnot. So the whole problem of the South China Sea, and to include the it's come up in the discussion about Guam, right? You're supposed to be forward deployed to be forward deployed. If you're forward deployed but you're not forward, why are we doing that? And so interesting discussion about all of that and I was just looking at it over the weekend because I was doing some cleaning out of stuff. The article that Lieutenant Colonel Cuomo et al. And friends wrote, not at war but kind of at war, or words to that effect, some of the problems that poses to a fight in the South China Sea that will happen very quickly. You'll probably dance with the forces that you have there, and it will be predominantly a naval engagement, probably predominantly aviation and naval forces, and you better be there and you better be quick or else you're not going to be a part of it. So I think all those things present in some way, shape, or form in the remarks that you made about the future and how we configure ourselves.
That's exactly right, and I think, you know, obviously, so much of this is shaped by and an extension of U.S. foreign policy. And so the role of the State Department, our ambassadors, and our leadership in the executive branch in gaining access, albeit for training exercises, in other places forward in the region, may in fact be the driving force that permits this new operational concept, or broadening out the SP MAGTAF operational concept for the Marine Corps. We were talking about our online features, our web articles a minute ago. If you go to the web articles under the May 2019, first one on the list is a follow-on article to that piece by Scott Cuomo et al. This is by a captain named Dylan Metzler, and this is logistics in the contact layer. So taking a look at that force laydown as described in the Cuomo article, how is that sustainable logistically? That's the focus of that next piece, and that's also a really good example of exactly how we intend the digital presence of the Gazette to work together to bring things out that are a more focused discussion than what necessarily shows up in the print magazine. So deeper level of discussion online.
Got it. One more question, and I will let you go, maybe. It's actually not a question. It's an email. Mac, it sounds like the Gazette is going through its own dynamic period. Certainly, the world of digital landscape in terms of publishing is changing. If Colonel Greenwood, that was me, if Colonel Woodbridge could give us an idea, where is the Gazette going? That's an interesting question there, Woody. So where do you see the Gazette in 24 months? Because, I mean, hell, the digital landscape changes so fast now.
Right.
Audio, video, print, you know, all of it, vying for clicks and really vying to be relevant. So, right. And you're captaining that ship. Where do you see the Gazette in 24 months in terms of these changes and when the dust settles, what does it look like?
Well, the key point, I think you hit on it very well, and everything that I've learned in the last couple of years working in this publishing environment is it's not about any one media. It's not about all about the print magazine. It's not all about the website. The consumer, our members, our readers, they want yes and. They want, yes, a print magazine and a digital edition and extra articles on the web and discussion forums and a blog and podcasts. And so if I look forward, what I'm looking to do in a deliberate fashion that sustains the nature of the Gazette broadly as the professional discussion forum of the Marine Corps and the professional journal of the Marine Corps, we're going to be doing more in those areas, specifically more related to the blog, more related to podcasts, and more exclusive content online, both, you know, audio, video, things of that nature. So we've scratched the surface on that already, but we're gonna start looking to do more of that and more of it focused on the magazine. So as an example, I've already kind of determined I know what right and wrong look like. I don't think you know, me reading a Gazette article for you know, for 25 or 30 minutes, no matter how good my voice is, that's not a great podcast experience. But potentially getting the author of the article or a group of authors, especially if there's been some back and forth comments together to discuss the subject as a podcast, that may be one of the directions that we go. Again, to give a little more voice to what may be some of the hidden conversations that are going on in the Marine Corps. You know, the Marines are always talking, discussing, arguing with each other. But sometimes those never get out into daylight. So try to give more of a focus and a forum for that while maintaining the role as the professional journal.
You know, I would, let me just tell you, it's so hard. The print side is so hard because you're trying to communicate something compelling in a finite amount of words, and that's what I love about what I do, is that in an hour of us discussing, I mean, I don't know how many words get thrown about, but I mean, thousands of words in an hour, or even a 30-minute podcast, if you did it, I mean, it's literally thousands of words are going to be spoken, and so the challenge of print is exactly that. It's an incredible challenge, and so
that's right.
So, but your challenge is because it's first of all that stuff comes at a cost. What is appropriate? What is the appropriate mix given the cost parameters that you face? And so, not an easy job for you, Woody. Lucky you're the man that we know you are.
Sorry, say again, the last piece.
Lucky you're the intellectual giant that we know you are, so you're up for all of this.
Mac, I'm sorry, I'm still not hearing you.
I said, lucky that you're the intellectual giant that you are.
Oh, God. Oh, that's for...
You just wanted me to keep...
I don't know how much of an intellectual giant I am, but you know what? If you work hard at something and you give a crap about it, it's really pretty easy to make good things happen.
You just wanted me to say that three or four times, didn't you?
I did, actually.
All right. Woody, I will get my audio unscrewed. I apologize for that. But
we'll do whatever we need to do on this end as well.
But thank you for doing this. Tell everybody where they find your work.
The easiest thing to do is Google Marine Corps Gazette or Marine Corps Association. The website is MCA, MikeCharlieAlpha-Marines.org. And from there, you can get to the Gazette, Leatherneck, all of our other resources at the association.
There you have it, the one and only Chris Woodbridge. All right, Woody, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mac. Talk to you soon.
There you have it. There you have it. I know. You know what? I know he tricked me. I don't fall for it often. I will straight up tell you that I think I just fell for it there, right? It reminded me of that commercial that the guy says with the hearing aids. I love you, Dad. What? I love you. I heard you the first time. I just wanted to hear you say it again. Yeah. Woody. Yeah, you know, how do you stay relevant? That's all these organizations are trying to do it. And if you're not involved if you're not in social media, if you're not doing current content, then you get kicked to the curb. And there's competitors everywhere that will do this stuff to you. So, my thanks to Chris Woodbridge for coming on. There's been comments about the Commandant and what the new Commandant will face in terms of, you know, that our muse may not go to sea the way we've historically configured your Earth or thought of them as. Maybe, you know, the ground combat element flies and does training for much longer periods of time. And the aviation logistics components show up and support those things, aboard ship and things. So you still maintain that capability, but you're there quicker for greater duration. So anyway, now I'll tell you about, did you just hear Joe, his caller, when he kind of like shakes himself? Joe hears this song. And he knows I'm done. And then when I say, ow, he straight up jumps on me. So he's nobody's dummy, Joe. All right, if you're just tuning in, don't touch that dial. Right, we're going to check out the news. And Paul Kennedy retiring today, a good friend of mine. I met Paul in 1989, I think it was. 89 or 90 at the basic school at Combat Town. And we've been good friends, battle buddies. And so I just want to wish him all the best. Congratulations on a great career. And wish him all the best things in the future. That'll do it on a Monday. Have a great day. All Marine Radio. Over and out.